When you hear about disputes involving the timber industry, they tend to be about which trees are cut and where. But it's a timber versus timber disagreement that has the United States and Canada at odds. It's about the price of softwood lumber. It's cheaper coming from Canada, cheaper than most American mills can provide. American timber businesses say the Canadians are just dumping timber on the market to drop the price and sell their product. The federal government agrees and is moving toward tariffs. You'll hear from a timber executive shortly. First, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, who joined us last week.
Senator Wyden, thanks for joining us. Give us some indication of what is going on between the United States and Canada on softwood lumber and what's at the heart of the dispute.
This is one of the key issues in the forestry sector, and the reality is the Canadians have flagrantly engaged in acts that I think just violates trade law by massively subsidizing their wood product industry and process, undercutting United States, our mills, and something like 30,000 Oregon workers. So I have put together a coalition of 25 United States senators. And we have said, look, we have got to have changes in the law and a fair agreement. Oregon can compete with anybody, but we can't compete when the Canadians are violating the trade laws. And so in conjunction with the Trump administration, Robert Lighthizer, and other officials, we made it clear this has got to be the time when they get a fair playing field for Oregon mills and Oregon workers on international trade.
So does that involve Oregon making a change in how it does business, or more about Canada making a change in how it does business?
Oregon and Oregon mills are not violating the trade laws. Canadians and Canadian mills are violating the trade laws. Yes, change has got to come on the Canadian side. It's been the longest running battle since the Trojan War, and it's got to get done. This is a big and important time with respect to forestry. Now, in an area where I am encouraged, Senator Mike Crapo and I have led a bipartisan effort for some time to end a really destructive practice, which is especially relevant now given all the fires that we've had. We've led a bipartisan effort to end fire borrowing. This revolves around the government shortchanging fire prevention. Then it gets hot, dry, you have a light can strike, the saw in the gorge, kids throwing some firecrackers. All of a sudden, you have an inferno on your hands. The government needs money to put the inferno out. They borrow from the prevention fund, and the problem gets worse. Senator Crapo and I recently went to a meeting with the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, and I think the administration is really moving to support our bipartisan efforts. So the two big things for forestry coming up are one on the trade front, and that is making sure that we get a level playing field so that Oregon mills can actually compete and begin these violations of trade law on the part of Canada and Canadian mills. And finally, in fire borrowing, and get serious about preventing forest fires.
So does fixing the situation with Canada involve slapping a tariff on Canadian lumber, and how rare are tariffs in this era of free trade across many borders?
Certainly, if the Canadians refuse to accept changes, yes, we have the capacity to impose tariffs.
Our apologies about the quality of the audio. We did try to sweeten it just a little bit, but it was not a great cell phone connection in the first place, as you could hear with Oregon Senator Ron Wyden. We talked to him last week, and now for a timber industry perspective, Steve Swanson, who's the president and CEO of the Swanson Group with mills in Glendale, Roseburg, and Springfield. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So we did talk to Senator Wyden last week. Since that time, we noticed the Canadian Prime Minister was at the White House just yesterday. Do your sources tell you anything about whether softwood lumber enters the discussions between the top two elected officials?
Well, we're not privy to discussions that take place between the leaders of those two countries, but I suspect that being an important topic for both nations, that it was brought up.
So, Steve Swanson, does the situation, how does it affect your business? Let's just get right to that.
Well, the two systems of how we sell stumpage, meaning the raw logs, are so different between the two countries. What Canada does is not evil, it's not wrong, it's just different. And that difference causes unfair trade. So in Canada, where 95% of the forest is owned by the provincial governments, they set up a system where every mill is guaranteed a certain volume at a federally or provincially administered price. And they're guaranteed that volume of timber every single year. And the price is artificially low. It's extremely low compared to the U.S. Now here in the U.S. where somewhere close to 70% of the timber base is owned privately, those logs are all sold at market. So it's a competitive process where the highest bidder will always buy those logs. And even on the relatively small amounts that are sold from public lands in the U.S., they are also done at auction. If you go to a Bureau of Land Management timber sale or a U.S. Forest Service timber sale, it's an auction. You go in, you qualify to bid, and the bid takes place until somebody stops, and then you're the high bidder. Not the case in Canada. So they come in with an unfair advantage, a very, very low stumpage cost, which means the delivered log is cheap, and that's a significant portion of the total cost of producing lumber. In our case, the delivered log runs around 75% of our total cost. So being at a severe disadvantage because of Canadian government actions, it's a serious issue for mills in Oregon and frankly for mills across the country.
When you talk about the guaranteed supply, though, I mean, does this mean essentially that the mills are continuing to crank out lumber no matter what the market is?
Absolutely. And where we really get hurt is in down markets, where we get to the point where our log cost, we go negative on earnings and cash flow, and they continue to make money and continue to ship that lumber into the market, and in many, many cases, driving the prices even lower and gaining more and more market share.
So there was, Steve Swanson, a softwood lumber agreement between the two countries, but it expired 2 years ago. I mean, up until that time, had there been something that leveled the playing field a bit?
Well, the softwood lumber agreement that you're referring to, the deal was struck in 2006, and it lasted for 9 years, and it had an effect. But by the time the 9 years had gone by, the world had changed. We learned a lot more about how Canada subsidized their industry, and the old agreement simply wasn't viable any longer. So we have come back now and filed another trade case, and we're awaiting final decisions from Commerce and a final decision from the International Trade Commission, which we fully expect to prevail, at which time duties will be in place of around 27% on average across the country. At the same time, we have tried to engage, we have asked our government to try to engage with the Canadian government to reach a negotiated agreement. And our overtures have just simply fallen on deaf ears, and nothing has happened. So we're simply going to pursue the remedies allowed us under U.S. trade law and run this process out.
We're talking about the disagreements over softwood lumber between the United States and Canada with Steve Swanson, the president and CEO of the Swanson Group, with mills in Glendale, Roseburg, and Springfield. If you'd like to join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange, have some input to what we're talking about here, join us at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So the hearing before the International Trade Commission, that is the U.S. International Trade Commission, was in September. Legislators in Oregon attended and made the case for the tariffs like you're talking about. Now, the Commerce Department announced in late August it would make a decision no later than November 14th. To your knowledge, what's the holdup in imposing these?
Well, the Secretary of Commerce unilaterally gave himself an extension of 60 days, which is allowed under law. Otherwise, those duties would have been published quite some time ago. So the express purpose of the extension was for Secretary Ross to continue negotiating with the Canadian government. Obviously, we are not privy to the actual negotiations that take place. We don't know exactly what has been said between the two countries, but we have no knowledge that an agreement is even within reach today. So we simply, what we think will happen is that no later than November 14th, that the Commerce Department will, in fact, release the final duties, and they will be somewhere close to the preliminary duties, which once again amount to about 27% across the board. and then within 45 days of that time frame, then we'll get a decision from the International Trade Commission on the issue of injury, which we certainly expect to prevail there as well. And then those duties will just remain in place until the next review period, which is about 18 months.
And there are really two duties, I understand, on the table, the anti-dumping duty and the countervailing duty. Is that right?
That's correct.
So if those are put in place and for a total of about 27%, does that make the price of softwood lumber from the United States and Canada roughly equal?
Well, it doesn't. Your question was, what does it do to the cost of lumber?
Mm-hmm.
What this is designed to do is to increase their cost on their side of the border so that we have a level playing field, so that that partially offsets the unfair trade policies that they enjoy because of the way their government sells timber. So the lumber markets react to that tariff as well. I mean, the Canadian producers have additional cost that they have to bear, and they simply go to the marketplace and try to get the consumer or the distribution system to pay part of that cost. At the same time, you have other factors that significantly impact the marketplace. So we've seen a pretty nice increase in the price of lumber that helps our mills be more profitable and keeps our people employed on this side of the border. But it's not just the tariffs. We've had a positive move in the exchange rate, which is significant. And we've also had forest fires on both sides of the border, huge forest fires in the interior of British Columbia, which has disrupted their ability to produce lumber over the summer. And we've had some of the same problems here in the U.S., particularly here in the Northwest, where we've had a pretty bad fire season, and lots of mills have taken some downtime because of that, including our mills. We took a week off at the mill here in Roseburg and lost 5 out of 8 shifts that same week in our Glendale sawmill. So lots of things impact markets.
Boy, they really do, don't they? A whole bunch of different factors come into play.
Absolutely. And I guess most importantly, we still have a modest improvement in housing. Today we're marching toward housing starts that could approach 1.3 million starts in 2018. That's a good number in today's world, but far short of the well over 2 million starts that we had in 2006. But all those things, the increased usage and then forest fires and the tariffs, all have an impact on the price of lumber.
So just to come all the way back to square one, when we talk about softwood lumber, do we talk about 2x4s, studs, things they use to build houses?
Yes, we're talking studs, dimension lumber, products that go into wall framing, roof trusses, floor joists, all those items.
So I wonder, as I look at the state of relations between the United States and Canada on trade, whether lumber gets its own focus or if it gets rolled in with other cross-border transactions and disputes like this. I don't know if you're aware of the dispute over the Canadian airplanes that they're talking about putting a 300% tariff on.
Well, every trade case is different. The president has ran on a platform of America First, and it looks like he's certainly trying to fulfill that promise. I'm not aware of the facts that go into the 300% tariff on airplanes, but tariffs go both ways. I mean, there are tariffs on products, lots of products that go from the U.S. to Canada. Last year, the Canadian government slapped a 280% tariff on drywall that was produced in the U.S. So they're not afraid to use their trade laws as well. So it's not just a one-sided deal.
So, Steve Swanson, there are potential third parties here. I mean, other countries that could step up in the softwood lumber trade if Canada is hit with tariffs. Are there other countries that are of concern to American businesses like yours?
Well, other countries certainly do supply very small amounts of lumber to the U.S. Framing lumber does come from Europe, but it's in very, very small quantities. You'll see headlines where, European imports are up 300%, but they're up 300% from a very, very small number to start with, so the actual volume is relatively small. And there's no evidence of subsidies in Europe. So, the U.S. is not afraid to compete on a world stage with other countries as long as those other countries are not subsidizing the industries. The same holds true with the Southern Hemisphere. There's lumber and plywood that shows up here from South America. And if there was evidence that those countries were subsidizing those industries, then there'd be the ability to file a trade case there. But as of now, there's no evidence that subsidies exist there either. The subsidies only exist today with Canada.
I noticed that the National Association of Home Builders is actually on the opposite side of this issue, fearing that tariffs could drive up the cost of lumber and so the cost of homes with it. I mean, would that be a significant boost in home prices, you think?
I do not believe that. I mean, when you look at the volume of lumber that goes into a home, it's relatively small. It's 3 or 4% of the total cost of the home. The increase price of lumber in a home from a year ago to today is about what somebody would spend on a couple of really nice faucets in their home. Certainly not as much as granite countertops and hardwood floors, and certainly not as much as the profit margins that these builders enjoy.
A couple seconds left here with Steve Swanson. The Springfield mill that burned in 2014, you got it back on its feet pretty quickly. Is the rebuilding process complete now?
It's not complete, Jeff, but it's getting close. We've got all the major components in. We have about 200 people employed there. We expect to be completely finished over the next 12 months. And what we have left to do are some really neat projects, but not essential to the operation. So we're producing the full product line that we anticipated, and volumes are approaching what we expect to get out of the mill. So we're very, very happy with the progress. Very happy to get those 200 people back to work.
All right, we'll keep our eyes on the progress there and keep our eyes as well on the situation with tariffs. A decision no later than November 14th on the dispute over softwood lumber with Canada. Steve Swanson is the president and CEO of the Swanson Group with mills in Glendale, Roseburg, and almost complete again, Springfield. Thanks again for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Great, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.